Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We have a problem.
What is it?
Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men.
Of course they are.
Very interesting. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You can go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, it's not even necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. So you know what it's time for? It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at LegacySups.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs when you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack is the best natural test boost system available today. Test X9 stimulates testosterone. T-Assist controls estrogen. And Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews from satisfied users just like you. And because Legacy are friends of this show, you can save 10% off your entire order at LegacySups.com now by using code K100. That's LegacySups.com. And the code is K100. It's time to level up with Legacy.
You know, Disco, you brought up the ultimate test stack, of course. I just wanted to say that I'm on the shredded stack, which is the Test X9, the X-Lean 5 Fat Burner, and then Recovery PM to help you get better sleep. And as I've said on the show before, since I started with Legacy Subs and everything, I dropped 25, 30 pounds. I'm feeling a lot better. I have a lot more energy. And I've had people DM me privately too to ask for my recommendations, and that's what I tell them. It's well worth it.
Here's the other thing. It's something that's working because people are coming back to use it and use it. We all use it. Like we've said before, there's nothing on our show that we're selling that we don't use ourselves. So this is really good, depending on what you're trying to do, whether it's, for energy, for losing weight. Like in Joe's case, I bust his balls. You know, he looks better than ever. And this stuff works. You know, the proof in the pudding is people keep coming back and purchasing it.
And remember, just before we wrap up, that the K100 code for 10% off isn't just a one-time deal. You can use it as many times as you want. If you hit a subscription and use the code K100, you get 10% off every month or every 2 months, whatever your subscription is. So the code, it will never end.
So if you want to look fit and trim like Joe, or you want to have the amazing cognizant abilities of our boy here, the superior one, check out Legacy Subs.
And let's not forget that our listeners are using this product and improving their health. And as Nick said, we're like one of the number one markets for his products.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keeping him in business. And it's all to you guys. And it's a credit to you guys. And the more fit and healthy that our listeners become, the longer we can do this podcast and the longer you can be patrons.
Everybody wins.
But nevertheless, Nick is still on probation and he's still on the DISCO list. None of that gets him off of that.
Good decision.
I think more important
than anything. That's a fair decision.
All right. So get your legacy subs at legacysubs.com. Boom.
Next is from Mig Cruz, and the subject is Vince McMahon's neck brace. This is a dumb question.
Should I kazoo it before you even say it or no?
Let's kazoo it before. Miguel from Staten Island. Howdy, K-Dog and Disco. With the stuff that's going on with Vince McMahon, do you think Vince McMahon will go back to wearing a neck brace like he did with the steroid trial? And then he actually types, interesting. No, I don't think he's going to go back to wearing a neck brace. That was a dumb question. Why would he be wearing a neck brace? Yeah. With the mailbag, what's up with the mailbag this week?
Yeah, it wasn't
next
great.
Is from RV. Is this from Russian Vids? It says RV.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Check out the question.
Is K100 part of the manosphere? Greetings, K-Dog and crew, day one listener. Recently it's occurred to me that many of your views on certain topics outside of wrestling have a lot of crossover with another type of content I consume, which is manosphere red pill content, which are men's advocacy channels on YouTube, which deal with similar topics like snowflake culture, censorship, and the mainstream media. Question, would it offend K100 to be grouped in with such channels? Thanks. Sincerely, RV from Sacramento. P.S. I've included a clip from such a channel, Coach Greg Adams, in which he tackles the recent Vince McMahon news. I'm not going to watch this. I don't know what you're talking about here. Like, I don't... Any of that other content, I don't listen. I don't get any of that content. I just follow stuff on Twitter. I read stories, and most of my opinions have been generated by myself, not from like echoing like a lot of other people. So
you know what the hell he's talking about, Joe? Yeah, the guy,
he's comparing us to that kind of stuff because that kind of stuff talks about the feminization of men and cancel culture and stuff like that. So that's why
those are our own views. We don't fucking read or follow Manosphere, Red Pill, right, or whatever the fuck you're talking about.
Right. God forbid. Like, man, I think these people think that if you think differently from them, that is because you've been going in some YouTube conspiracy theory rabbit holes and that's why you don't think the same way I do. Whatever.
Okay, listen to this. Manosphere. The Manosphere is a collection of websites, blogs, and online forums. By the way, this is the first time I've even heard this term.
Right.
Promoting masculinity, misogyny, and strong opposition to feminism. Communities within the Manosphere include men's rights activists, incels, men going their own way, pickup artists, and father's right group. Bro, that's not the Manosphere overlaps with the far right and alt right communities.
Right. Okay. We're not far right and alt right.
That might be Disco and Joe, but definitely not me.
Definitely not me.
I don't think we promote misogyny here. That's a little far.
No, I work in a strip joint, for Christ's sakes. Next is from Mitchell Black, and the subject is Roe. Well, why'd you get your thoughts on the possibility of the following happening? Behind the protests that will be on the news, there are people making moves behind it all. Even the states with trigger laws, you can see organizations getting legalized abortion on state ballots. The Supreme Court did not rule abortions to be illegal. They just allowed states to make their own decisions. We've seen states be able to rally to decriminalize weed. I think abortion could be done easier in more states. As far as a national reaction, I can see where Democrats will get the swing votes. I think the long game this move does not end well for Republicans. The church has been vocal in this, but do not believe they are the majority. I don't think this is – I honestly think that once all the noise get shutters out, like, I think most states, even like – I don't think – like Texas says you can't get an abortion from contraception. Like the amount of states that are going to ban abortion altogether, okay, I think it's going to be very few. Most states right now ban abortions after like 15 like they give you a period of time. You know what I'm saying? And in this big picture of everything, like how much time does a woman need to decide whether or not she wants to keep the baby or not? And most people decide in like sometimes I think it's like 15 to 24 weeks sometimes they go up to. Yeah. I think the whole thing is just the places that are going – you're going to see the split in the extreme ends of this where you're going to have some states on the extreme ends banning abortion up until birth, and you're going to have some of the other extreme end banning abortion period. Or allowing abortion up until birth, and on the other side, banning abortion, period. Okay? Most of the other states are going to be somewhere in between, which is why this is going to the states. I remember I said this a few years ago, when I think we brought up this topic, that it's so polarized. I mean, this is split like 50-50 down the middle in this country, and nobody's going to change their mind. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's a deal where it's like, okay, we're not going to let the federal government decide and piss off 50%. We're going to go to the states that you live in, and the people, if you share the values of like, in, you know, like people in Utah are going to be different than the people in California. You know, people in Wyoming are going to be different than the people in New York. And then the states will decide differently. And, that's, and plus, too, we can't get pregnant. Like, we're men discussing this. And it's like, you know, so it's like, you know, Conan, like, we brought this up to Conan. Like, Joe was like, we want to talk about Roe. And like, no, it doesn't really interest you.
Yeah, right.
You know, like this whole thing, right? It's like, you know, and honestly, it really isn't that interesting because these arguments go nowhere. Neither side is changing their mind, you know? So it's just whatever.
I think one of the justices might have been Alito. He said something like, this was not in the Constitution, so we're not breaking any constitutional rights. But
Right. Basically
what he's saying is, let the states decide, and I have no problem with that.
Right. I don't see why a lot of people should have a problem with that. You know, it's like, just another, you know, whatever. I mean, okay, next one, Scott.
Why is everyone villainizing Clarence Thomas so bad? Why is he like the figurehead, the lightning bolt for this? Everyone seems to be going after him. I saw someone call him Darth Vader.
I don't know. It's so dumb. Yeah. Because this is where the Twitter mob, now they're saying that the next thing that could happen is
gay marriage.
Because gay marriage and interracial marriage.
Interracial marriage?
You think that Clarence Thomas is going to nullify his own marriage through Supreme Court? It's like the stupidest. I mean, I don't want to talk about it anymore because there's so much nonsense in the conversations, and all you get is everybody arguing with each other, and it's just not worth it. So,
yeah.
Next is from Scott Hammond. The subject is AEW video packages. Hi, gents. With Forbidden Door out of the way at the time of this reading, I feel like as a casual viewer, a group of video packages on Dynamite leading up to this pay per view, introducing people to members of the new trend Japan wrestlers, would have been hugely beneficial. What are all three of your thoughts on video packages? Would it have helped AEW in this instance? Thanks so much, as always, Scott from London. Scott, go on. You get YouTube in London, right?
Mm.
I don't know if you listen to our show, but when we review these shows, the WWE shows and AEW shows, we talk about this every single week. Yes, AEW needs more packages. They don't have hardly any. They definitely don't have enough, and they have hardly any. And you can see how effective the WWE packages are when you watch them.
And the ones they do have aren't that good. And here's the other thing, which is kind of funny. Their TV's not that good, but it seems like their pay-per-views are, and they make a grip of money on that. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had that same energy on their TV shows, they'd probably have a much better product.
You're going to get – I think the one thing AEW – this is a metric – that I think AEW kills WWE with. And well, actually, I actually don't even know if he can measure it this way, because like, I guess 1.5 million people get the network now. Is that accurate? Joe, look up Google.
Dude, it was like 1.5 million when it was on a subscription package by itself. Now that's with Peacock, it's got to be more.
Let's find that out.
Yeah.
I want to know what that number is, because what I think the AEW fan base does effectively, because they have a very passionate, you know, niche fan base, is the percentage of the people that watch your shows that get the pay-per-views is very high.
Well,
like their fans, they'll get every pay-per-view, you know, like at a very high percentage of their fan base.
So
that's, would you agree with that, Conan?
What was the thing? What do you say?
That the percentage, because AEW is a passionate fan base, the percentage of their fans that get the pay-per-views is high.
Right.
You know, I would definitely say that. I would say probably more, but I don't know.
Well, but like, their pay-per-views are usually good too.
Well, they're $60. You know, the thing is, like, so do you have the number of Peacock, Joe?
Okay, so here's how it goes. There was 1.5 million prior to NBC Universal's purchase. Okay, now Comcast reports that the streaming outlet has reached 9 million standalone subscribers, with another 7 million getting it via bundles, and then it says 3.5 million Peacock subscribers have watched WWE programming since the Peacock integration. So,
wow,
there you go.
Wow, that really helped increase. You know, that's very interesting. You know, that 3 point, that because they've, you know, they got on Peacock and they drew a lot of interest from the people on Peacock. You know, I'm sure, like let's just say, basically what they did is they drew that they've had 2 million more people than what they had on their previous, you know, when the WWE Network have engaged with their product on that platform. That's a solid, that's those are pretty solid numbers. What do you think about that, Conan?
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good, that was a good business deal. You know, apparently, obviously. Next is from Tino Fam Tran. The subject is action figure collection with a question mark. Oh, God. Hey, Conan, Disco, and Joe. First time ever sending something to the mailbag. Get the kazoo ready, by the way. We always get them for the first time callers or first time submitters. I was watching Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins' YouTube show about action figures. All right. And saw them talking about Conan's action figures that range from AAA, WCW, Impact, and so on. We actually watched this clip last week, so yes, I think he posted the clip.
Yeah.
Right. I know wrestlers aren't the usually ones to be big marks for themselves, wink, wink, but did Conan and or Disco keep a lot of their memorabilia, such as action figures, T-shirts, etc.? During Ryder and Hawkins' show, I think he even recalled them saying that Conan's AAA action figures worth some money. Thanks for answering my mail question if you guys get around to it. I never collected. I have a doll. I have one of each of all of my items. And they're at my house, my mom's house, on the shelf in my old room. That's, you know,
I'm, you got but the I'm little, not a you got the little race car deal?
Yeah, the little race car, the Mattel, you know, I got the basics. Yeah. What about you, Conan?
Same thing. I just have anything that ever came out of me, I saved just as a souvenir and as a memorabilia. But I'm not a collector. I don't know if they're good, if they're bad. I don't know how much they cost. I don't do fig bats. I don't fucking, you know, that, I'm not into that. You know what I'm saying? I just,
Here's what we're going to do. I want to do this. Okay. I want you to, I want you to get a couple of like your unique figures that you have at your house, like some old ones, like some of the originals. Right. And I want to go put them on, bring them on and show them. And I want to send the clip to Zack Ryder and see if any of your action figures are worth something. Because if you got a thing that's worth like $1,500, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
No, I highly doubt it.
You never know. You heard when he was on the show, like the amount of money these people pay for these action figures.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, what's the most, what did he say the most he paid for an action figure was? Do you recall that conversation?
No, I don't, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Look it up on Google while we're going through this. What's the most Zack Ryder has paid for an action figure? Google that and see if you get an answer for it.
I was looking for this as you said that, just as a heads up. The Conan AAA figure on eBay is being sold for $130. So there's that.
Okay.
So what was it? Zack Ryder? What's it? Matt Cardona?
Yeah, Zack. What's the most Matt Cardona has paid for an action figure?
Mm-hmm.
All right, see what we get. Okay, next is from Jared Aviat. The subject is James Brown and the Maestro. It's interesting. Wait, did we ban Jared?
He sold an action figure for $45,000. And this is the one he sold was a naked Miss Elizabeth, which was a rare get, I guess.
Naked?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Cody, you got it. Bro, if you have something there worth thousands of dollars,
I highly doubt I do. So
you never know. Okay,
really don't care.
And it says, dude, in an angle, Matt lit a 1-2-3 kid action figure on fire, which was worth $750 on eBay. So there's another example.
Hi there, K100 fam. Hope everything is doing okay. Since Mr. Gilbernetti has misread my great... He calls me Gilbernetti. We're going to ban him again.
Yeah,
right?
He's been suspended a lot recently.
Yeah. Has missed my gracious message.
Why does he keep showing up?
His suspension, this one was up, but now apparently he's going back in. Back in.
Doesn't sound like it. I'm pretty sure he did one last week.
I think he did two last week.
No, that was 2 weeks.
Okay. That's right, because there's one from the week before. That's right. To make up for any transgressions, I will follow the first part of the official protocol for Sapphire guests. Compliment number one. Disco, you are great and very wise when compared to Kevin Gill.
See, compliment Jared, number why two. Why do you get yourself Sully's, in trouble?
Sully from Sesame Street is actually a compliment, not an insult. Everyone loves Sesame Street. Okay, he's banned.
Jesus.
Now one of my questions. I must admit, the Maestro from WCW has always been a fave of mine since I was a kid. His wild overacting always made me laugh. What was the guy like behind the scenes, if you guys recall? And what was it like for Disco when the one and only James Brown appeared? James Brown was in his room most of the time. I just basically just shook his hand, said hi, yo. And Maestro was actually very – he was very kind of a loner a little bit.
Hmm.
You know, he's like off by himself a lot and everything. I don't know. I didn't really
– he's kind of quirky.
Yeah, he was a little quirky.
Do you remember what
I was cool with him. I had no issue with him.
Do you remember what Maestro's original gimmick was when they were bringing him in?
The Stro?
No, he was going to be the new Gorgeous George, and he purchased –
the new Gorgeous George, right.
He purchased
the
name, and then Savage bought it off him because he was going to give it to Lanny. And then that worked out, so he gave it to Stephanie Bellers and called her Gorgeous George, you know.
Yeah. Next is from Muhammad Ali. Subject is Rick Rude and WCW. Hello, guys. Just want to know what kind of impactful stories you've seen or heard of Rick in WCW. He came off to me as a jerk on his looks and perception as a heel in shoot interviews. But what is it about him that made you think otherwise when you worked with him? I didn't really share a lot with him either. He was in that Minnesota clique, and those guys kind of hung with each other. But I had no issue with him. He was kind of funny. Like, if you want to be around him, he's telling jokes. He was pretty funny, you know? I don't really have much to say about Rick Rude. I didn't really communicate a lot with him. We had our own little clique, and he was in the other clique, you know? What about you, Conan?
I didn't have much with him either because he wasn't in my clique. But at the times we did associate, it was very cool. I remember one time, I don't know if Nash had made a joke about him or what, but he wanted me to try to get Nash into a room because he wanted to fight him. And I told Nash, bro, I don't know what you said about Rude, but this guy wants me to get you in a room because he wants to fight you.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, who wants to fight Joe?
Rude wanted to fight Nash.
Really?
Yeah.
Over what?
I don't remember. Probably Nash making a smart-ass remark, which is probably, you know, or I don't know. I don't remember exactly, bro. This is 20 fucking years ago.
Next is from Durbin. Subject is Disco Cross. Que paso, Conan El Barbero. I watched a tribute that AAA did for you. It was so beautiful and well-deserved. It almost brought me to tears seeing such a great, good friend of mine be honored.
Okay, we're not good friends.
What was the significance of the Santana song? Glenn, I ran out of Tony Schiavone clips for you, but here's an interesting one. On a recent Baptized Fire with Brother Martin podcast, the host gives you the old compliment sandwich when he mentions that you train Killer Cross. Please play the attached clip, Joe. So if you could please answer this question, what else do you have cooking in the oven, so to speak? Mike Durbin. Mike on vacation, Durbin. Play the clip, Joe. Okay. Is it long? Durbin should know not to put a long clip in here.
39 seconds.
That's fine. Play it.
It's crazy to think that Disco Inferno trained this guy. Okay, Disco Inferno trained one of the best performers in wrestling, period. It's amazing. So for me, I don't shit on Disco nearly as much because of that fact, because if it wasn't for Disco, I might not have had that moment with Cross. So I'm grateful. I'm very, very grateful. And that gets me thinking that if Disco has the ability to train somebody like that, what else does he got cooking in the oven, so to speak?
Well, I helped train Chris Bay a little bit too. Mm. Yeah. That's two pretty decent feathers in my cap, you know? I mean, cause I trained maybe like five or six sessions with Bay, you know, part of the group. Yeah.
Would you take any credit for training Ron Reese?
No, I didn't train Ron Reese.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Have you ever trained anybody?
Trained?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
Right. Next is from Nick Disco, Reed.
Hang on, D.I. Do you still go down to the school or anything? I don't hear you talk about
it. I haven't been going down there at all.
Yeah, how come? Just time?
Because I got too much time. Like, bro, I got a job and I did this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm 54 years old. I don't want to be working 50 hours a week, you know? Next is from Nick Reed, and the subject is AEW Talent. Hey, fellas, recently Adam Page took shots at talent from the past in their, quote, shit-ass podcast, unquote. I would assume this would include you, amongst others such as Booker T. Well, that's true because he blocks me. It looks as though this is a collective opinion amongst a lot of the AEW talent who can't really handle some constructive criticism. My question is, would it be possible for you to have any of the AEW talent you are on good terms with come on the show and discuss this topic at length? You can make for an interesting conversation. Thanks, Nick. Conan can make that happen. There's AEW guys that'll come on the show. You know, but I don't think Tony wants a lot of guys, but there's some guys that call their own shots and would just come on the show anyway and know that we're not going to bury them or anything. So it's like, you know, I don't know why they don't want, you know, their characters aren't. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Conan?
I don't feel like tracking people down to come on the show, bro. That's Joe's job. And he ain't, you know, I don't know if they'd even would answer him or tell him yes or no.
Since we haven't been crazy about really having guests at all except regulars recently, I don't even really pond around or ask anymore, you know, unless you guys tell me to.
Right. Next is from George Gebhardt, and the subject is Bianca Belair getting too manly? Hey, guys, seeing Bianca Belair on Raw this week made me wonder if she's hitting the gym too much. Her husband, Montez Ford, put on some muscle lately, which is a good thing for him, but it looks like Bianca's had a lot of muscle as well to a frame that already was somewhat muscular. Her legs are much bigger and her chest is kind of ripped now. I know there are some guys that are in that kind of look, but in my opinion, she's looking too much like a bodybuilder. Thoughts? Sincerely, George Gephardt. George, she's a combat fighter. I would suggest she's with girls like this should look athletic and muscular, like they can
fight. Like Jade. You
know? Right. It's, yeah, what are we?
Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
She looks great.
They look so much better than everybody else that they're saying that they look too good. That's kind of like, right. Well, you're actually giving her a great compliment.
Mm.
I keep saying this about her. She looks fantastic, and sometimes she's too athletic for these other girls because the match looks like it's not realistic because she's so much more athletic than the other girl, you know? So that's a good problem for her, you know? So, yeah. But that's been the mailbag.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.